'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd'sville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm speaking from Luke chapter 19 on the story of Zacchaeus, and have entitled this message, The Intention of Christ. Now let me read verse 10, the end of the story of Zacchaeus. The Lord said, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now here the Lord identifies His intention in coming. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if I would understand what Christ did, I must understand what His intentions were to do. You see, His intentions are utterly unique because whatever He intends to do, He does. We have many intentions, and it could be that none of them come to pass. But whatever the Lord intends to do, that's precisely what He does. So we can learn what Christ actually has done by understanding what He intends to do. And He says, here are my intentions. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now this was the conclusion of this story concerning Zacchaeus. In verse 1, we read, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, a publican was a Jew employed by the Roman government to collect taxes from the Jews, and they would overcharge the Jews. And they had thugs that made sure they got their money. I guess it was kind of like being in the mafia. And they would overcharge the Jews to get money from them. And this man was very rich through his unjust ways. And you can bet he was probably the most despised man in all of Jericho. When the scripture speaks of publicans and sinners as the worst people around, publicans are named first. This man was a publican, a very wicked man, a very unjust man who was very rich at the expense of others through unjust means. So you can imagine what people thought about this man, Zacchaeus. Now, we read in verse 3 that this man sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, I don't know if this was just curiosity only, but at any rate, he wanted to know who Jesus of Nazareth really was. No doubt he'd heard many things about him. He'd heard of the miracles he performed and the mighty acts that he did. And he wanted to know who he was. And he heard he was to pass that way. So we read, he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press, the crowd. There was a great crowd around our Lord as he went through Jericho. And people were at this time celebrating him because of his mighty works. They didn't understand the nature of why he actually came. They just thought he was coming to establish some kind of kingdom with his power. And this is what Zacchaeus had heard of. So he tried to see him, but he was a very short man. I kind of think of a Danny DeVito-like character. He couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was to pass that way. Now, he knew that Christ was going to come by, and he, like a little boy, I guess, climbing up in a tree, wanting to get a glimpse of the Savior. Now, look what happens. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. He stopped and looked up and saw Zacchaeus in that tree. And I bet when he stopped and looked up and saw him in the tree, the crowd knew who Zacchaeus was. They said, "Look, there's Zacchaeus in that tree. What's he doing there?" And then the Lord did something very amazing. Zacchaeus was certainly amazed by it. He said unto him, "Zacchaeus." He knew Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was amazed. "He's never seen me before. How does he know my name?" Well, he'd known Zacchaeus from the foundation of the world. You see, he could say to Zacchaeus what he said to Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in the belly, I knew thee." He knew this was one of his elect, one he came to die for, one he came to seek and to save. And he said, "Zacchaeus," called him by name. You see, he called his own sheep out by name. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Now, this is what is known as the effectual call, the call of his grace. You see, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Romans 8:30. This is one who he was calling by his grace. And what a beautiful illustration of this effectual call. First, it was a gracious call. Like, he's calling the very worst man in town. That lets us know what a gracious call it is. Now, if he calls you, it'll have to be a gracious call, or you won't ever be saved, or I will never be saved. It's a gracious call. And it's a personal call. "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." He calleth his own sheep by name. When he calls you, you'll know it's him calling you. And it's a hastening call. He says, "Make haste." If you can put it off, he's not calling you. If he calls you, you'll make haste right now. And it's a humbling call. He said, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." It's always a call down, down from our pride and self-righteousness and arrogance, down to the dust at his feet. "Make haste and come down." And it's an affectionate call. He said, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Oh, what an affectionate call this is. And it's an abiding call. He says, "Today I must abide. I'm there for good." When he saves you, he's with you eternally. There's no leaving. He abides with us. And it's a necessary call. He says, "Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Now, the only reason he must do anything is he must do his Father's will. And this is one of his elect that must be saved. And it's an effectual call because we read, "He made haste and came down and received him joyfully." He did what the Master told him to do. Now, when he first wanted to know the Lord immediately and see who he was, he found out he couldn't. He was too little of stature. And if you ever find out, if you ever have a desire in your heart to know the Lord, the first thing you're going to find out is you can't. You cannot, because you're too little of stature. You can't figure this thing out. But oh, this desire to see him will stay with you, just like it did Zacchaeus. And he climbed up that tree, and the Lord said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. Oh, how happy he was to receive him. He found out who he was. He made haste, he came down, and he received him joyfully. Now, what does it mean to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, John tells us in John 1:12, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name." When you receive Christ, that means you believe his name is your only way into the Father's presence. You plead no other name but his name. Now, this man received the Lord Jesus Christ joyfully. Now, when you receive the gospel, when you receive Christ, you do so joyfully. The things that once made you angry make you happy. You receive him joyfully. It used to be that when you would hear of a sovereign God who is in control of everything, you wouldn't like that, but now you do. When you heard of God electing a people freely, you didn't like that, but now you do. When you hear of Christ effectually redeeming the elect, you didn't like that, but now you do, because you know that's your only hope. You receive Him joyfully. Now, verse 7, and when they saw it, the crowd, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Well, this is awful. This crowd knew who Zacchaeus was. They knew what a despicable man he was. And they thought, why would he be going into his house? This man is a sinner. This man is a preeminently sinful and wicked man, someone given over to vice and wickedness. And why would he go to this man's house? This man is a sinner. Thank God their accusation is true. This man receives sinners and eats with them. This is the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He receives sinners. I'm so thankful he came for sinners. Zacchaeus was thankful he came for sinners. And listen to this scripture. This is a faithful saying. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am the chief. I'm so thankful that there's no adjective before sinners. It doesn't say he came to save believing sinners. It doesn't say he came to save repentant sinners. It doesn't say he came to save elect sinners. It doesn't say he came to save repentant, any description, just sinners. Just sinners. Would that be you? If you are a sinner, someone who is nothing but sin in and of yourself, I can guarantee you Christ came to save you. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, what they were murmuring at, he's gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. It's the best news a sinner's ever heard. If you're a sinner, he came to save you. If you're a good person, he didn't come for you. But if you're a sinner, he came for you. Now watch this, verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Lord. Now remember, he wanted to see who Jesus was. And he found out who he was by the way he addressed him. He said, Lord. He found out that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the owner. He's the one who has all power to decide. He's the one who controls everything and everybody. He is the Lord. That's what the Lord is, not an empty title. That means he has control over everybody and everything. Everything is in his hands. His lordship was seen in creation when he willed this universe into existence. His lordship is seen in providence in that he controls everything. I'm so glad he does, but he controls everything. There's no event of which he's not the first cause behind. And he's most especially Lord in salvation. That means your salvation is up to him. It's not up to you, it's up to him. The leper understood that. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And if you ever find out that he's Lord, this is the way you'll come to him, just like the leper did. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now this wicked man, Zacchaeus, found out that Christ Jesus is the Lord. He saw who he really was. And look what he did in verse 8. It says, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, the Lord didn't tell him to do any of these things. And he wasn't saying this so men could see how much he'd changed. But he now saw the Lord, and he wanted to do these things. The Lord changed his want to. You see, he'd been given a new heart. He was born from above. He had a new nature, and he now wanted to do these things. It's beautiful. Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. That's remarkable. And if I've taken anything from any man unjustly, I restore unto him fourfold. Now look what it says next. Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Now, what do you think of when you think of the Lord saying, this day salvation is come to this house? Well, I dare say what you think, or is what I thought initially, or what I think initially, we think, look at this man's changed life. He's gone from being a grasping, covetous publican who would use unjust means to take other people's money in order to enrich himself, but now he's this generous man who gives half his goods to feed the poor, and he's going to make restitution for all the wrong things he's done. Surely salvation has come to this house. Look at his life. Well, if that's what you thought, you're wrong. Christ is salvation. When Christ came to his house, salvation came to his house. I love what Simeon said in Luke chapter 2 when he saw the child Jesus, 8 days old, in the temple. He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. I'm ready to die, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Christ is God's salvation. Christ is all in salvation. He's all to God. He's all any believer would ever want or need. He himself. Christ is salvation. When Christ walked into Zacchaeus' house, salvation walked into his house. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is the Lord. Salvation is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walked into his house. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. Now, why was he saved? Was it because he changed? Was it because he started giving to the poor and because of all the good things he did? No, he was a son of Abraham. He was a true Jew. God saves every true Jew. Now, there were a lot of physical children of Abraham that were not children of Abraham. I'd like to read a passage to you from Romans chapter 9 where Paul identifies who the true children of Abraham are. He says in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Just because someone is a physical descendant of Abraham doesn't mean he's a true Jew. Let's go on reading. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac represents the spiritual child. You remember Ishmael was the child of Abraham, but there was nothing supernatural about Ishmael when Abraham went into Hagar. But when Abraham went into Sarah, she had already gone through menopause, and this was a supernatural birth. The true children, the spiritual seed, are the supernatural birth, those who have been born of the Spirit. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Now who are the true children of Abraham? The elect of God, the spiritual seed, those he chose before time began to be saved. This is the true child of Abraham. Now, he wasn't saved because of his works. He was saved because he was a true child of Abraham. He was a true Jew. He was the true circumcision. I love that scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, where Paul said, we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, no confidence in fleshly salvation by works. None at all. We rejoice only in Christ Jesus. Now, the Lord tells us plainly the reason salvation has come into this house is because he also is a son of Abraham. Now look in verse 10. Remember, the title of this message was The Intention of Christ. Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come. Here's his intention in coming. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I love the way the Lord refers to himself as the Son of Man. He takes this title to himself more than any other title. The Son of Man. The Son of God calls himself the Son of Man. He became flesh, and he did so in obedience to his Father, but he did so because he loves men. He loves to save sinners. And what an endearing title, the Son of Man. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, remember, whatever the Lord intends to do, that is precisely what he does. When he came, this was his intention. He came to seek out and to save that which was lost. Most of the preaching that is, if you want to call it preaching, I wouldn't really call it preaching because it's not the truth, but mostly what is said in the name of religion is that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, he intends to save everybody, that was his intention, he shed his blood for every human being to ever live to make salvation possible for them, that's his intention. It's his intention for everybody to be saved. Now, if that was his intention, he failed, didn't he? He failed. If he intended to save somebody, if he died for the sins of somebody that's in hell, if that were his intention, he failed. Somebody says, well, I'm not saying that. Well, what are you saying then? That's exactly what you're saying. If you say that he died for somebody that winds up in hell, you're saying he failed in his intention. Beloved, Christ does not fail. As a matter of fact, the scripture says in Isaiah 42, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He's not going to be frustrated because his intentions did not come to pass. You see, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You can't get from the scriptures that he came to save everybody. You just can't get. You know, what about John 17, 9 when he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given me. He said to the Syrophoenician woman, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This thing of Christ intending to save and not getting the job done, well, that won't do any sinner any good. There's no gospel in that message. Now, his intention was to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, everybody was lost in Adam. In Adam, all die. When Adam fell and became lost, everybody in him fell and became lost. God deals with you either in the first Adam or the second Adam. And every man is lost in Adam. Every man is lost by practice. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You take the best man alive and the worst man alive, and there's no difference between them in God's sight. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all men are lost in practice. But all men aren't lost. All men don't see themselves to be lost. Oh, they're in good shape. Ask them. What's a lost man? A lost man is a man who cannot see any way for him to get to God. He's too sinful. He's sinned himself away. He's a wretch undone in his own eyes. He's lost. He's lost and he can't find his way back. He cannot see why God would save him. That's how lost he is. He sees no hope in and of himself. He's lost. He's lost and he can't find his way back. He's lost. If he can get back, he's not lost. Oh, if you're lost. If you're lost, If you're someone that is so sinful and so evil by your wicked works that you don't see why God would ever have anything to do with somebody like you, you're lost. Let me tell you something. Christ Jesus came to seek and to save you. You lost one. He's the one. You're the one he came to save because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, his intention was spelled out clearly in Matthew 1:21. It says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And that's precisely what he did. When he said, "It is finished," every one of his people were saved from their sins. That you're, if you're lost, you know it's your sin that's caused you to be lost. Christ dealt with your sin. He put it away. He bore it in his own body on the tree and put it away. When he said, "It is finished," the sins of everybody he died for were blotted out completely. They are no more. Christ, here's his intention. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you're lost, he came to seek and to save you. Now, what should a lost man do? I think it's interesting that the U.S. Parks and Recreation Bureau gives us plain instructions what to do if we're lost in a park, in the woods somewhere. It says, well, the first thing you need to do is realize you're lost. What a blessing it is when a man finds out he's lost. You see, any lost man, God's going to save. So they said the first thing to do is realize you're lost. And then try to get attention somehow. Cry out for help. Cry for mercy. That's what a lost man... help! Ask the Lord to do something for you. And the third thing it says to do is always move downhill. Always move downhill. If you're going up in your thoughts of yourself, you're going in the wrong direction. Always go downhill. The way up in the kingdom of heaven is down. And fourth, it says, find shelter. Find shelter. The only shelter there is the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like being in the house with the blood over the door. Find shelter. And when you find that shelter, stay there. Don't move. Paul put it this way, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him." He only is the shelter for a lost sinner. But my dear friends, if you're lost, Christ came to seek and to save you. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Kniper praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer.
I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.